Hello, this is Mike Swanson. I'm the author of the book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. In a few moments, another episode of The Great Parallax Views will begin. But before it starts, let me tell you about my book. It's available at Amazon.com, The War State. It's about how the United States became a global superpower after World War II and has brought us to this situation. Grab the book at Amazon.com after the show.
I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views. Is it looking as if Bannon is going to get thrown under the bus? And why would Bannon be getting thrown under the bus in this instance?
Because Badalato is better connected than Bannon is. If, you know, if that's the scenario that plays out, who knows what's going to happen? I'm in awe of the fact that this guy that I've been writing about for like 3 years is all of a sudden front and center. This is the money that made Trump president. I can't say that for a fact, but this was a churn. This was a big churn. And in Sarasota, where no one would suspect it.
Now let's get to a developing story that now involves a man from Sarasota County and a former Trump advisor. The two are among four people being charged with defrauding thousands of donors with an online crowdfunding campaign that raised more than $25 million to build a wall along the U.S. southern border. Both Andrew Bodolato and former Trump campaign manager Steve Bannon are accused of committing wire fraud and money laundering. Bannon pleaded not guilty. According to the indictment, Bannon promised that 100% of the money donated to the We Build the Wall campaign would be used for the project. But investigators say Bannon received more than $1 million himself, using some to secretly pay a co-defendant and to cover hundreds of thousands of dollars of personal expenses. The investigation was prompted by consumer complaints referred by the Office of Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody because the charity was registered here in Florida. Andrew Bodolato, who lives in Sarasota County, had his first appearance in a Tampa courtroom. Both Bodolato and Bannon could face up to 40 years in prison.
That's right. Donald Trump's former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, is in hot water after being charged with fraud in relation to the private We Build the Wall campaign. Ripping off donors is what Bannon and his associates are accused of. But perhaps what is more interesting is that one of those associates appears to have a history as a federal informant. Now, before we go any further, let me explain. Andrew Bodolato, who has been charged with Bannon in this case, has a history of what could be called financial skullduggery, maybe chicanery, and may spell big trouble for Steve Bannon, according to a Bloomberg article from September 1st entitled, "Bannon's Fate May Be Tied to Pal Who Taped Accused Mobster." As this piece in Bloomberg details, Bodolato taped a mob associate and worked as an informant for the FBI to take him down. Will he do the same to Steve Bannon? On this edition of the program, the controversial journalist Daniel Hopsicker of Mad Cow Morning News joins us to unravel the Bannon-Bodolato bust and what it may mean. As stated, Daniel may be a bit controversial, and he's actually joined us on the show before. His thesis is that we're living on a gangster planet, as he likes to call it, in which organized crime and government officials of a certain kind and persuasion intersect. Hopsicker's journey into the murky depths, the dark waters of investigating transnational organized crime, began when he looked into a figure by the name of Barry Sill, who you may know as the basis for the Tom Cruise Hollywood blockbuster American Made. Now, if you're unfamiliar, Barry Sill was a commercial airline pilot, cartel drug trafficker, and a DEA informant. In fact, some speculate that he was working in concert with the CIA as well. It all sounds a bit conspiratorial, I know. But when Bottolotto was arrested with Steve Bannon and other associates in relation to the We Build the Wall campaign, I immediately thought of Daniel Hopsicker and Mad Cow Morning News. Because, as it turns out, Hopsicker has had an eye on Andrew Bottolotto for the past 3 years. So whatever you make of his Gangster Planet thesis, it appears he hit a mark, a bullseye, if you will, focusing his energy and attention on Andrew Bottolotto. In this conversation, we discuss his latest article, The Bannon Bottolotto Bust Exposes the Abyss. And before getting into that, we talk a little bit about QAnon, because in Daniel's last appearance on the program, he said at the very last minute that he believed Jerome Corsi was the man behind the identity of Q. Now, recently news has come out stating that it appears Jim Watkins is the main perpetrator of QAnon, the identity behind Q, although there is speculation that there may be multiple Qs, and there was a recent NBC article entitled How Three Conspiracy Theorists Took Q and Sparked QAnon, which, as it turns out, highlighted Jerome Corsi's involvement in pushing the phenomena and its spread. All that and more on this edition of Parallax Views. Welcome back to Parallax Views. Daniel Hopsicker, the investigative reporter behind Mad Cow Morning News. How are you doing tonight, Daniel?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well.
Well, I thought you would say that because you've been covering this fellow by the name of Andrew Bottolotto on Mad Cow Morning News for about 3 years now, and he is in the news a lot now. So what is going on with that? And I guess first, for my listeners, maybe you should tell them what you cover on Mad Cow Morning News and what it's all about.
Dude, I'm interested in drug trafficking, the drug trade, okay? I wrote a book called Barry and the Boys. Then I came to Florida and wrote a book called Welcome to Terrorland about the terrorists that learned to fly in Venice. And the most amazing thing that I learned in Venice was that 3 weeks after Muhammad Atta and Marwan al-Shehhi arrived to begin attending Huffman Aviation, owned by Wally Hilliard, one of Hilliard's Learjets was busted on a runway over Orlando Executive Airport with 43 pounds of heroin on board. I didn't think, I mean, I spent 2 years investigating Barry Sill and, you know, and met every associate of his that I could, and I was lucky to meet a lot of them. But I never thought, I mean, you know, that, I thought that was it. I thought that was my drug trafficking foray.
That you thought that was as far as the rabbit hole went, but it turns out it went much farther.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is still the case today. Anyway, I have this little thesis that everything important that goes on in the world of transnational organized crime has to do with drugs, because that's where the bulk of their income comes from. And it's an ungodly amount. One point I want to make about transnational organized crime that I don't think people have snapped to too much. It's not like organized crime plus. I mean, organized crime is Guido's candy store in the Bronx, and you can buy Bolito tickets there. Okay. Transnational organized crime is on fleets of Gulfstream 4s and 5s. It's a whole order of magnitude, maybe several orders of magnitude larger. If I were to retail to you, and I may just, the names of some of the Americans who are involved in this transnational organized crime network, you'd be startled. I mean, Vince Vaughn's mom, one of the Osmonds, a former ambassador to the U.S. from Paraguay. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And on. But what do you want to ask me? That's what I want to know. By the way, I checked out your webpage because I guess we spoke like a year ago. My memory, lasts for about 10 days. And I want to commend you. I remember like talking to you the first time and thinking, here's a pretty smart guy. You knew stuff that you probably shouldn't know because you're too young. I mean, you knew a lot of stuff, and I commend you for that. So I go to your website just to refresh myself, right? First of all, I saw the picture. You have long hair, and of course that makes me jealous because I don't have any at all anymore. And then the first interview, a list on the left is John Sayles. John Sayles, for God's sake. I haven't thought of him in years, and he was a hero of mine. John Sayles was. I have no idea what he's doing currently. John Sayles.
Well, you know what? I got to thank you for the accolades there, but this episode is about your research into the transnational drug trade, and I guess I wanted to ask you about Bottolato, but the last time I had you on, since you mentioned that last episode, we were talking a little bit at the end about QAnon, and there's been more coming out about that recently, and word has sort of come out now that Jerome Corsi is likely deeply involved in QAnon. I've seen multiple people say that, but you were the first to say that on my show. So I was wondering if you could comment with your thoughts on QAnon and what it's all about. You think it's an op?
Oh, it's brilliant. Jerome Corsi should win Academy Awards every year. I mean, he is like, I do not know another person that has affected the politics of this country more than he has, using dubious methods, okay? But it's brilliant stuff. He swift-boated John Kerry in 2004. John Kerry, an authentic, semi-war hero. And then he did that Obama birth thing. And with this QAnon thing, I mean, he's on the level of a public relations Shakespeare now. I mean, you can watch this stuff, and you can see the mass of the great unwashed that it obviously attracts.
What do you think QAnon? What purpose is it serving? Seems like a right-wing op.
To make people that you contacted before to make them feel like they were on the inside. Who doesn't want to feel they're not getting special information? Okay? I mean, but it's crazy. I guess it got crazy. He might not do it the same way again, but I mean, it's so obviously crazy that there's nothing to do but say it's obviously crazy.
Yeah, I'm feeling you on that. It feels like a way to distract people from a lot of real issues. Like, for instance, the Bannon Bottolotto bust, which you have an article out. Bannon Bottolotto bust exposes the abyss. I guess the first thing we should get into is what happened, which is very simple. Steve Bannon and Andrew Bottolotto have been arrested for their Build the Wall Fund and basically what amounts to what looks like money laundering. If you could, what is this whole case about, and why is Andrew Bottolotto in particular of interest to you?
First of all, you know, let me say this. Steve Bannon is sort of like the most interesting of these guys. Reprehensible in like, you know, many ways, but he went, when I read Fire and Fury and read what he said, I mean, you could feel him coming right at you through the book. Okay.
That's the Michael Wolff book that, you know, exposed the inner workings of the Trump White House.
He was totally freaked out when he was interviewed by Wolf because of whatever was coming out at the moment. And he says, you realize where all this is going. This is all about money laundering. Mueller chose Weissman first, and he's a money laundering guy. Goes through, you read it. Goes to Deutsche Bank and all the Kushner shit. They're going to roll those two guys up and say, play me or trade me. He comes up with good lines, too. I mean, this is the best stuff since Watergate. Their path to fucking Trump goes right through Paul Manafort, Donald Trump Jr., and Jared Kushner. Money laundering activities by Trump associates. He set up over 2,000, you know, phony shell corporations, okay, with bank accounts, and help use that money in the bank accounts for the people doing the money laundering from Russia to get luxury apartments and luxury condos. Both Bannon and his former lieutenant were charged with setting up shell. That's what Bottolotto did. That's what these guys did. They had a lucrative sideline in financial crime.
It sounds like Bannon, from your estimation at least, it sounds like Bannon is a bit more honest about these things than most, as reprehensible as he may be.
You know, when I read the fire and I heard his voice coming through, I went, whoa, you know, I may not agree with this guy on anything at all, but it sounds like he's like, you know, more or less coming across with whatever he's feeling at that time. I don't know.
So in regards to Andrew M. Bottolotto, who is Andrew Bottolotto, who of course has been implicated in this bust with Bannon?
I'll tease the book a little. Gangster Planet. I think that's I like the title. I hope I could do it justice. We're talking about Bottolotto now, right?
Yes. I wanted to know, maybe for my listeners that are unfamiliar, who Bottolotto is.
Bottolotto was Bannon's chief lieutenant, all right? He co-produced all of the shit Bannon was doing, and they were in business together in two, three phony companies. And that's like the beauty. See, there is a business reporter that had this put together years and years ago. Unfortunately, the poor guy's dead now. Chris Byron was like just the best business reporter in the entire United States. These are guys these are Mill Intel guys, okay? These Bannon people, okay? And Andy Bottolotto, I wondered how he got hooked in. It turns out I got a tip of my hat to a very good researcher down in Texas. Andy Bartolotto's grandfather went to Fordham in the same class, the late 30s, as Bill Casey, William Casey.
The famous CIA man.
The famous, I mean, you know, there's a, I came online probably in the late 60s, and you know, as I watched the players from then till now, there's not that many that really mattered.
Now, in regards to Bartolotto's history, you have a whole list of links to various financial skullduggery involving Bartolotto at Mad Cow Prod under the heading Andrew Bartolotto Bookmarks. And the one thing that stands out is White Knights and Vultures. What is that, and how does that?
It's in the indictment. Once again, kudos to you. I mean, White Knights and Vultures. SunTrust. They have an account at SunTrust, and SunTrust is being enjoined to, like, give all that money to the government. White Knights and Vultures. Andy Bartolotto's companies all died, you know, like babies left exposed in Sparta. Okay, he didn't have a company that was successful. But on the other hand, what he did have, besides just the financial fraud, okay, he was involved with some heavy hitters. In two big companies that when they went bankrupt, somebody made $225 million, and those companies were backed by Lockheed and Raytheon, all right, and had generals on the board. I mean, these were supposed, you know, solid companies. So the fact that his grandfather went to Fordham with William Casey, you know, has obviously stood his family in good stead.
So he's got sort of connections, in other words. And to my knowledge, he hasn't really gotten in trouble for much either.
You know, and that's what is, you know, undoubtedly giving Bannon pause right now. Because Bartolotto has been a snitch all his life, okay?
I was going to say at one point in the article, in bold, you mentioned Bartolotto's history as a confidential FBI informant. Is that speculation or is that confirmed?
No, it's you can take it to the bank. I'm not the only one to have come to that conclusion. There's no other conclusion one can come to. Okay. So there's something hinky at the FBI. And, you know, and that's not terrific. You know, I mean, that's not amazingly new news either. I mean, I think New York FBI, is what made Trump president. But that's just me.
You mean because of
the
emails, the Clinton emails?
Because of everything. What?
Well, we'll go on. Elaborate what you mean there if you can.
Well, they were talking about Hillary's, you know, by the way, I don't like Hillary. Okay. I mean, Hillary was America's first Karen. Okay. Had a sense of entitlement. They just rub people on the wrong way. They certainly rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah, I mean, that was, and Trump's been pretty damn masterful. I mean, you know, first of all, there's just his big lie tactics actually work with his base. And you know, ultimately, Trump's a passing phenomenon, okay? But what we have to come to grips with here in the United States is the fact that that we have a Yahoo class that is world class. I mean, and that's been the case throughout most of my lifetime. I mean, it used to be, I mean, look at Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell knew Wally Hilliard, who owned the flight school to train Muhammad Atta, and he owned the Learjet busted with 43 pounds of heroin, okay? And today, you know who's involved on the religious end today in this drug trafficking network spanning the globe? Chabad Lubavitch.
Can you elaborate on that, maybe?
Sure. What do you want to know? Okay, let me speak specifically, because this, I'm sorry, you know, I should be making a more lucid presentation to you. Okay, there's another guy we haven't mentioned yet that's crucial to Sarasota is a nexus, okay? And this other guy that was in business with Bannon and Bottolato, his name is Jonathan Kirshen, and he has dual U.S.-UK citizenship and ran a hugely successful money laundering outfit out of Costa Rica, okay? And he was in business. He was laundering money in the Seychelles for Eric Prince. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Eric Prince of Blackwater fame.
That's right. Okay. And let me tell you how Jonathan Kirshen comes onto the scene, okay, in terms of news clips that one can find. In 1997 and 98, there was, who paid much attention? There was a Russian mobster named Simon Mogilevich, who had a magnet company up in Toronto that he had registered on the Toronto Stock Exchange, and now it was already busily laundering money. And the FBI swooped in and busted them, like multi-agency, 70 agents swarming the complex. And so he's going to lose his company, YBM Magnex. The FBI is seizing it. And just before that can be done, this guy named Jonathan Kirshen from Sarasota, Florida, swoops in with an offer to buy the company and take it public again.
Buying it from the man known as the boss of bosses, Semyon Mogilevich. I was unaware of that. It's funny how all these figures tie up together. If I could really quickly. So you mentioned earlier you think the FBI, particularly New York FBI, handed Trump the election. As I said, I'm assuming you're referring to Comey's very strategic leaking of those. Well, not leaking, but the investigation into the Hillary Clinton emails, I believe 2 weeks before the election. So that begs the question, why is the FBI busting Bannon and Bottolato now? And also, if Bottolato,
Step right there. They're not. The indictment's coming from the Southern District in New York. I don't think there's any input from the Sarasota Tampa office in this indictment at all. I'd be surprised if there were. Sarasota is a strange place, very strange place.
As much of Florida is based on your research.
And I thought I had most of this figured out, okay? And then I got a call from a source of mine who I hadn't spoken to in almost a year. An interesting guy. And he says, you got to get down to the beach and take a look at Bottolato's house. Now Bottolato's house, it was of interest because Bannon registered to vote there. And that brought Bottolato to this. I mean, you know, it was probably the biggest mistake Bannon ever made. nobody knew from Bartolotto before, and yet, you know, now I know a lot. You know, I know a lot. Not that matters.
So, in that regard, why is Bannon sweating right now? What do you think he knows what's up?
Well, there's usually, in a situation like this, there's usually only one deal on the table, and whoever takes it first, you know, kind of wins the lottery, and you know, the other guy ends up like doing 15 years, and Bartolotto's just a snitch. I mean, there's no telling what's been keeping Bartolotto up. Listen, Bartolotto was an officer along with some of these other shady characters, like Mike Nuzio, who I like to talk about and don't get to talk about enough. And the other four officers in the company were all indicted and convicted. And Bartolotto was the only one left. Nothing happened to him, and he was a senior vice president for finance. Okay. You know, the plane of Wally Hilliard's that got busted with 43 pounds of heroin had made 39 weekly flights before it got busted. Okay, it was a milk run. On all those 39 flights, the co-pilot's name was Michael Francis Brassington, and yet when the plane was busted, his name did not appear in the criminal indictment or the affidavits that went along with it.
So getting back to Sarasota, why is Sarasota so much of a strange place in regards to Bartolotto, and what can we glean from what's been going on in Sarasota?
Okay, Sarasota has been part of this major financial fraud / drug trafficking network since the early 70s. You know, I like to think I know from drug trafficking, but when I went down to Casey Key to take a look at Bartolotto's house as per Joey's request and discovered that it had been torn down, and it was like a $900,000 home torn down, I started looking at things like, you know, like maybe I didn't know as much as I thought I knew, and you know, discovered that these are the city fathers. Okay, one of the guys at the heart of this financial fraud scheme that repeats itself over and over again in dozens of companies. Okay, one of the guys at the heart of this has been Sarasota's Man of the Year twice.
And also Bartolotto's connected, I guess, to Mike Mazzuio, who's a Ponzi scheme that's mafia connected. Sentenced to what? 13.5 years?
Yeah. Oh, okay. But once again, I'm not doing this justice, okay? Here's the deal. Okay, Mike Nuzio, the Tampa mobster, was in business in 2003-2004 in Howard's Beach, okay, with a Russian hacker named Pavel Vorblisky, who just happened 15 years later to be the first Russian hacker fingered by name by the FBI in the summer of 2016. And 15 years earlier, 12 years earlier, he's living in a house with this hapless mobster, Mike Nuzio. And what's going on is he's got a payments like PayPal for Russia. You know, back then, this stuff was just getting started, and porn was what drove it. Mike Nuzio ran, God knows, you know, 30, 40 mob porn sites. his big hit that year was VoyeurDorm.com, where they got a lot of nubile, community college type looking girls, and they had 38 cameras in the house. And the girls were supposed to be co-eds. So the American Mafia was in business with the Russian Mafia in 2003, 2004, and we were using the services of Russian hackers then. When I say we, I mean the American mob. Are you with me?
Right, right.
Why is this so difficult? Why is the New York Times not like picking up this story? These are the people like running the country or next to the people running the country, and they're mobsters. They're gangsters.
So what's interesting though, in regards to Muzio, and I'll just lay this out for the listeners. The reason he comes into this Bottolotto thing is they're working together, on this company called Industrial Business Ventures Group, and they basically stare it into the rocks, you know, just crush it, which seems to be a recurring theme with anything Bottolotto's involved in, you know, just financial chicanery leading to, you know, destruction. And of course, Muzio and a bunch of other people in the company all get sent to prison, but Bottolotto remains free. So this is, you know, I think where we would get the impression that he's being protected, right?
You know, absolutely. You got it right, Papa-san.
So we have that. And then Joey Barquin, who you mentioned earlier, who I believe was featured in BuzzFeed or BuzzFlash about a year ago regarding a very big story that came out. People can look that up. He's a source for you on this article. And he seems to indicate that Bottolotto has Bannon by the balls in some ways. Why is that?
He would think you would, Bottolotto taped Bannon. Bottolotto is a snake. And so he taped all his conversations. This guy, Joey, knew that. And I know Joey enough to like believe him when he says it. Joey has a very honest reason for stepping forward. He is a pissed off business investor. He got ripped off by Andy Bottolotto for more than he has been willing to admit to me. And he knew Bottolotto for 25 years. So, first of all, financial fraud makes a lot more money than anything else I can think of right now, except drug trafficking. These guys were like pulling down. Adnan Khashoggi was like a dozen bust outs going on at once. Khashoggi's made nearly $300 million. The government made Deutsche Bank give back $279 million. But Khashoggi walked.
Yeah, Khashoggi was involved, I think, in some penny stock stuff, too.
Khashoggi has been involved in every American scandal since the mid-60s, since the Lockheed bribery scandal. I mean, I've got like old news clips, Walter Cronkite news clips of interviews with Khashoggi, who's at the center of, you know, this or that. I mean, this is in the 60s and then the 70s. And then, of course, he was like involved in Iran-Contra. I mean, he is a life, or was. The poor man's dead. He was a lifelong CIA fixer, whatever that means. Okay.
And by the way, for my listeners, just to clarify, we're talking about Adnan Khashoggi, not Jamal Khashoggi, although they are related. And it's funny because everyone always describes Adnan as a Saudi businessman, whereas it sounds like he's more of what you're describing, a gangster on the gangster planet.
Yeah, but Adnan died in bed, okay? He was a power player, okay? You know, the most iconic episode of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, remember that show?
Yes, yeah.
Featured Adnan Khashoggi for an hour. And of course, he provided plausible deniability because he's, you know, for God's sakes, he's an Arab, you know? He can't be running CIA business, but indeed he was. Probably, you know, and you know, CIA Saudi business. Yeah. Adnan Khashoggi. Adnan Khashoggi owned Mike Muzio's music company. Muzio owned a music company that put out a press release saying that they had just purchased one of Elvis's prized pianos for $750,000. I'm sure it was completely bogus. But that's the kind of thing he did. And
you're saying this is also Bottolotto's game?
No. Wait, okay. This company is owned by Adnan Khashoggi, Muzio's company. Muzio's in business with Bottolotto, is in business with Gershon, is in business with Bannon. It is in business with guys we aren't even talking about. Okay? It was a regular ring. And it's been going since the 70s. And part of the ring / network, okay? I mean, these are not necessarily mobsters. They're like, they were all in the Marines. They were Marine pilots and aviators in Korea. So you can make it that what you will. Maybe they were all ready to do the same program. Go ahead. Our government smuggles drugs, okay? I mean, when I say our government, I mean a certain fraction, a certain privileged fraction of the elite is assigned to this task. Because it is, as far as I can see, the most important, the biggest slush fund in the world. And so in every country in the world which has a significant drug market, the market in that country is run by the same people that are running the country.
In that regard, you're saying Bottolotto is sort of working for others. He's working on behalf of others. Bigger fish.
The CIA has been in business with the mob since probably the 50s, right? I have never seen anything said that that had stopped. Bottolotto's obviously connected with somebody who was connected with William Casey, who was Reagan's campaign chairman, and then was chief of the CIA, and, okay, was the CIA officer responsible for creating the enterprise. The enterprise. The self-funding mechanism that has persisted from that day till this, because why not? It's a lot of money.
So out of curiosity, why is it that it seems as if, you just mentioned Reagan's ties to Casey, it seems as if the right wing is always connected to organized crime. I was recently reading Don Folsom's book, The Mafia's President, on the ties between Nixon and the mob. In terms of Reagan, there's the book Dark Victory by Dan Moldea on Reagan, the mob, and the MCA. What is the right-wing connection to all of this? I mean, alt-right grifters come up a lot in your work.
Well, that is when it's switched. Mobsters through the time, I think, of Jimmy Hoffa were Democratic connected. And then there was a switch. You know, then you know, the baby Rebozos stepped to the fore.
I was going to add to that real quick. It's interesting that you say that, because I look at all these mobsters that have come out, you know, today in support of Trump, you know, and it's people like Sammy the Bull, the Gotti family are like real big supporters of Donald Trump.
Dude, a half dozen of the people connected with the Sarasota network, they all have Kennedy assassination files. Okay? They were all of interest to the investigative agencies after the assassination, certainly by the time of the House Select Committee. These guys, there was a major drug trafficker here before Barry Seal that I had never heard of. His name was Kenneth Bernstein. He was bigger than Barry Seal, and you know, at least initially, and he was CIA. Dude, after having seen everything I've seen now, I have no problem saying that Wally Hillier was running an operation at the Venice Airport in support of something to do with the CIA. If it's the NSA, you know, I'd be surprised, but you know, nothing happens in Florida that these people don't know about first. So some states have defense industries. Some states have, you know, intel is an industry, and that's the case with Florida. Caribbean intrigue is what's specialized here. And here, you know, there's so many interesting things. For example, both Wally Hillier, who owned the flight school, and Andy Bottolato had fixations about Cuba. And this was in the day before we had relations. And both visited Cuba often. And I thought, I mean, you know, that's pretty interesting. No idea what exactly it means. But it's a thing, okay? This network that I'm talking about.
The Sarasota network?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it ties in with okay, here's the basic RICO assumption. If you or I are in a conspiracy together where I distract the counter clerk in the candy store and you know, you steal Pez, okay? And then at the same time, if I'm in a conspiracy with a really smart kid who's flying 747s like from South Africa to Colombia and the year, and he's only 9, you're guilty of, you're part of the network, okay? Everyone's guilty. Everyone's guilty as charged. Everyone is guilty, all right? That's what RICO is. So this is a network. All I can do is point it out. I don't have subpoena power, and Andy Bottolato has blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know. Have you reached out for comment from him or?
No. What would he say? I'd listen to him, but you know, frankly, I don't like the guy. Okay.
Well, he's also pretty, apparently, you know, accused of sexual.
He was pretty deviant sexually, and so was Jonathan Gershon. Okay. Jonathan Kirshen, God, I didn't even talk about this, a stock analyst in Vancouver found out that Jonathan Kirshen, who was a stockbroker at the time in Vancouver, which is like a very, you know, Vancouver was like Hong Kong. I'm telling you about Jonathan Kirshen.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Oh, Kirshen was a perv, okay? Kirshen had a well-crafted, this is in the days of alt, you know, bisexual, like whips and chains, okay? You don't remember that.
BDSM shit, yeah.
Yeah. Early days of the internet.
So it sounds like Bottolotto, Kirshen, they have a lot of skeletons in their closet. In regards to what you mentioned earlier about Joey Barquin telling you that that Bottolotto recorded conversations with Bannon, is it looking as if Bannon is going to get thrown under the bus? And why would Bannon be getting thrown under the bus in this instance?
Because Bottolotto is better connected than Bannon is. Mm-hmm. If that's the scenario that plays out, who knows what's going to happen? I'm in awe of the fact that this guy that I've been writing about for like 3 years is all of a sudden front and center. This is the money that made Trump president. I can't say that for a fact, but this was a churn. This was a big churn. And in Sarasota, where no one would suspect it.
So you're saying that Bottolotto is central to the rise of the Trump administration and getting him into power through financial means.
No, I'm not saying that. That would be overstating it. Bottolotto was one of a number of people that we've talked about, you know, in the last hour, 45 minutes, whatever it's been, who were making a lot of money doing illegal things financially, okay, with seeming impunity, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that money was going somewhere. They weren't spending it all themselves. You can only imagine what would get kicked out to the boss. And it doesn't Trump like look and sound like every mob boss you've ever like seen a movie about, okay? I mean, Trump is a mob boss. That's his whole shtick. We're in sad shape. So this is one a vine, pull it out, root it out, and a major prop will be pulled out. Bottolotto was in business with Cambridge Analytica.
Okay? It's connected to everything.
Yeah. Andy Bottolotto.
Well, before we close out, I just had two more things I wanted to mention. The first is, you know, you've done a lot of work on all of this stuff, and you've tied Russiagate into it. And we have a bunch of people on the left saying Russiagate is all crap. There's nothing to it whatsoever. What is the general outline of Russiagate for you? Because I get the feeling that it has something to do with Mogilevich and figures like him.
Exactly. I mean, it's our mob plus their mob. That's where the connection. You know, Jonathan Kirshen's part of that network. He was like trying to pull Mogilevich's bacon out of the fire in 1998. Okay? What does that tell you? The number one Russian hacker, he is number one in Russia. We disagree on a lot, but we wouldn't disagree on that for a long time. Was named by the FBI in the summer of 2016. Okay. this same guy was in business with hapless Tampa mobster Mike Muzio in 2003-2004. And there's incorporation, there's documents to prove it. The nice thing about being a quasi business reporter is you know, everything you're talking about is in paper. I mean, it's there. If you and I own a company together, we're both going to want to have our name on it in case one of us decides to get greedy. Okay. It's a big, well, what am I telling you? You know, this is what I do. This is, and, you know, sometime I'll tell you the story of how one thing led to another, from Barry Seal to Venice, Florida, to the bust of a DC-9 with 5.5 tons of cocaine on board. Khashoggi involved bust, put it that way, in 2006.
Yeah, it's interesting. Khashoggi comes up over and over again. And also, you mentioned Deutsche Bank. Someone recently said to me that, you know, it's almost like Deutsche Bank is just a repeat of the BCCI scandal.
Here's what most of this is, well, no, I mean, we all have to have an opinion about it because this is how the world works. The guy at the UN that headed up their drug, bureau, okay, watched banks in 2008, 2009, and said that the only liquidity in major Western banks at that time was drug money. Had it not been for drug money, you know, banks like JP Morgan Chase would go under, which, you know, makes you realize that drug money is an essential component of Western civilization, of the Western economy.
And we also have whistleblowers who have said that. I believe Robert Mazur, who is famous for writing a book called The Infiltrator, he worked for, I believe it was the DEA. There's a movie about him with Bryan Cranston. He has said that if you look at Escobar and the operations in South America with the drug cartels, they're connected to banks. It's all dirty banks.
Would you bother being involved in drug trafficking if you couldn't spend the money? Okay. I mean, it's a big business. Without the involvement of the major Western banks, and you can probably everyone we could mention, you know, has been shown to have some involvement. From Bank of America to like what used to be Wachovia to Wells Fargo to Deutsche Bank to HBSC in Barclays. Barclays, a key player in the network I'm telling you about, was Michael Francis Brassington from Guyana.
I mean, we're essentially talking about what others have called narco-capitalism writ large.
It's gangster capitalism. It's you know, it's Russia comes to the U.S. Right
now, before we close out, if I could, I just want to ask you one more thing with regards to Bottolotta. You mentioned you went to his former home and found that, you know, it had been torn down. I'm going to have listeners that are just inevitably going to say, well, what does that really mean? Oh, why is Daniel being so cryptic?
Because I'm not going to tell you the whole story at once. I mean, first of all, you know, you couldn't handle it. Okay. I mean, just in terms of the complexity of the story. Okay. The guy, I'm not going to tell you the name. I'm not going to tell you the name of the guy that bought the property. Okay. But I am going to tell you that he went to Harvard and Yale Law, and with purchasing Bottolotta's property and tearing down what was on the property, he went an additional fur piece towards creating a compound for himself out of half a dozen properties on Kasey Key. I've known people that operated out of compounds in the past. I could tell you stories about them, but you know, anybody that's got their own compound is like, you know, is operating on at least a semi-pro level. Am I right? I will tell the story. What I'm going to do, last thing I'm going to tell you here, is I've been working hard to have this book out while Trump is still president. And if something happens and that's not completely possible, I'm committed to publishing the hot stuff that affects the alt-right / Trump group before the book comes out. And I'm beginning that process now. The next story I'm doing probably for tomorrow is called the Cliff Notes. Cliff Notes to Gangster Planet or Gangster Planet Cliff Notes. I don't know which sounds better to you. And I'm gonna retell the story from start to finish and get it down to you know, a decent quarter hour. So we'll see.
Well, Daniel, I want to thank you for coming on Pure Laxies. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say with regards to where you think this Bannon thing may go. But if you have anything else you want to throw out there, or if you want to let my listeners know how they can keep up with your work.
Well, it's on my website, madcowprod.com. You know, I'm Daniel Hopsiger. Pretty much, you know what? I'll bet everybody in the whole world that is interested in knowing who I am knows who I am. there's a lot more people that aren't interested than ever will be. So I'm out there. You know, you can find me, and I'm going to be laying out the story, so you can understand it the way it happened to me. Good enough. Hey, dude, good to talk to you.
And good to talk to you, man. I appreciate the great conversation as always.
We'll have to do it again.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Daniel Hopsiger. Always fascinating to speak to. And regardless what you think of his thesis in regards to what he calls the gangster planet, well, he was on the money, it appears, in pointing a finger at Andrew Bottolato, Bannon's associate 3 years ago. So make of that what you will, and check out Daniel's work at madcowprod.com. That's madcowprod.com. As always, let me know what you thought about this edition of Parallax Views by dropping me a line on Twitter at ViewsParallax or by email at ParallaxViewsPod@protonmail.com. And of course, if you can, please consider supporting me on Patreon at patreon.com/ParallaxViews. I'd like to make a big push for more Patreon support this month so I can keep up the pace of my production schedule. Believe it or not, it is my Patreon supporters that make this show possible. Producers credit shoutouts to Amelia, Mark, Martin, Brace, John, Gratz, Zach, and Ted. If you'd like to join those great supporters of the show, well, patreon.com/parallaxviews. $10 and $15 tier gets you a producer's credit shoutout on each and every episode of the program. So consider doing that. Contribute to the Parallax Views Patreon one more time, patreon.com/parallaxviews. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views. with Parallax View. To Parallax View. With Parallax View.
The way out is not simply to say, don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing it like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.